Let us remind you, and we have said this from the very beginning, from all of our leadership, that although we are resuming in-person services, we totally understand and encourage every one of you to be sure that you are confident and comfortable when returning to our in-person services. Mm-hmm. So we will continue, as we said, to have our online services. Even after all this is passed, we will continue that. But keep joining us, praising the Lord along with us. It's just really good to be with you today, and we thank you all so much for joining us this hour, our first weekend of getting back together. Now, Pastor Jeff, this morning, we're going to wrap up our sermon series called Disrupted.
Yeah. Can't believe it's over.
It's been good. Mm-hmm. Your comments and reactions have been overwhelming again.
Yeah.
Hope it's really touching your lives in many, many, many areas. But throughout this series, we have been distinguishing between life's interruptions and God's disruptions. And simply stated, as we're using it differently in this series, is that life interruptions are things that just happen. I mean, all of our lives have been disrupted in one way or another at some time or another, possibly even this morning. There wasn't all the cooperation you wanted getting ready to come back to church, but we're interrupted all the time. There are things that aren't planned. They're not on the calendar. They wasn't on our schedule. Or sometimes you go into work and, wow, didn't expect this to happen in this meeting or this whatever. Things just happen, and those are life's interruptions. And we learn to handle those, get around those. And sometimes when they get tough, we always remember that God's with us.
Mm-hmm.
And he works all things out for our good. He's there to help, as we used the term a few weeks ago, rescue us when necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But God's disruptions don't just happen.
No.
God's disruptions are those events orchestrated by God to bring you a mission for him. And it's meant for you, a mission for you. If he had meant for somebody else to do it, he had interrupted their lives. So we're not supposed to, as we've seen throughout this whole series, many people, when God tries to disrupt their lives, they won't make excuses.
Yeah, how many of you, when God's disrupted you, said, how about disrupt someone else?
You got the wrong person.
Got the wrong one.
So I've kind of put this caption on all of it for this whole series, Pastor Jeff. Our only response is obedience. And the only ability we need for God to use us in great ways is availability.
Yeah.
So don't make excuses.
Yeah.
Obey and just let God use you.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to turn with us again to Acts chapter number 8. You've got on your outline there, it says various scriptures. We're going to start in Acts chapter 8. Because as we conclude this series, Pastor Jeff, we want to look, I think, at one of the most profound disruptions in all of the Bible. Wouldn't you agree?
Especially after studying it this week together.
Yeah. Although last week we were looking at a disruption in Philip's life, we also looked at that terrible persecution that struck and hit the church in Jerusalem. It scattered the church in Jerusalem. It scattered them all over Judea and throughout the land. They went everywhere.
Yeah.
But the neat thing about it was, joke's on you, Satan, you scattered the church, and everywhere they went, they preached the word.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks, Satan. You helped us get that word out there.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, way to go. And it began, if you remember, with the stoning of Stephen. And at the stoning of Stephen, we were introduced to a young man. Now, young man, not in the sense of a teenager or some of the younger preteens that we have here this morning. Mm-hmm. It was a young man such as a young Pastor Jeff as opposed to an old Pastor David. You weren't supposed to enjoy that.
I was enjoying that. I'm going to, I see, you don't want to tell him that story.
Okay. This young man that we are introduced to at the stoning of Stephen was a man named Saul. And verse 1 of Acts chapter 8, verse 1 says, Saul was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. A great wave of persecution began that day sweeping over the church in Jerusalem. The believers in Jerusalem were scattered everywhere, but they were still telling everybody everywhere they went about Jesus. But verse 3 says, but Saul was going everywhere as well, but he was going everywhere to destroy the church. Catch these descriptions about Saul and his life as we go through these scriptures. Pastor Jeff, you know who else is trying to destroy the church?
I got a few people coming to mind, but
the devil.
The devil, yeah.
The devil wants to undo you and everything you're doing for the Lord. He wants to undo this church. He wants to undo everything out there. And he will use anything he can to destroy the church.
Yep.
Don't help him. Don't help him. And don't listen to him. But Saul was a part of that move. Let's just destroy the church altogether. So here are a few things I want you to note about Saul. Okay? First, notice that Saul was singularly focused. Turn the page to Acts chapter 9 and look at verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was threatening with every breath. He was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He went all the way to the top. This whole focus of his was getting backing and approval from the top.
Yep.
So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted, underline this is what he wanted. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
He's focused on this. He was focused on one thing, destroying the church. He was eager to kill, to arrest men and women. It's all he could think about. He said it filled his every breath. It was his singular focus.
Yeah.
Secondly, I want you to notice he was seriously prepared. He knew what he was talking about. Saul gives us his own resume, and his own words, rather, his references there in Acts chapter 22. In Acts 22, beginning verse 3, Saul says, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, and I was brought up and educated here in Jerusalem under Gamaliel. As his student, I was carefully trained in our Jewish laws and customs. He's well educated.
Yeah.
Gamaliel, the Bible says, was a Pharisee, an expert in religious law, and he was respected by all the people. So Saul had been well educated. He had been carefully trained by one of the best. Mm-hmm. But notice it was in the laws and customs. Saul had been very well prepared. He was seriously prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And thirdly, notice this, he was sincere. But he was sincerely wrong. Sincerity is not enough. Hitler was sincere.
Yeah.
But he was sincerely wrong. Pick back up in verse 3, Acts 22, verse 3. He goes on to say, I became very zealous to honor God in everything. To honor God in everything I did, just like all of you today. And I persecuted the followers of the way, hounding some to death, arresting both men and women, and throwing them in prison. The high priest and the whole council of elders can testify that this is so, for I received letters from them to our Jewish brothers in Damascus, authorizing me to bring the followers of the way from there to Jerusalem in chains to be punished.
Wow.
Saul really thought he was doing the right thing. He was zealous. He became zealous to honor God.
He had no doubt he was doing it. I mean, he was
sincere. Yeah. Thought he was doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Doing it all for God.
Yep.
Pastor Jeff began this series with that first message. You would say Saul was all in.
Yeah. All in wrong, but he was all in.
All in. He was wrong, but he was all in. Catch those words. Persecuting, hounding, arresting, punishing, killing, all with great zeal. He was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong.
Yeah.
And then it happens.
In a big way.
Saul was disrupted.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we saw Saul. He was on the road to Damascus. And he was focused. He was intent in finding followers of Jesus and taking them back to Jerusalem in chains.
In chains.
But then it happens. Jesus disrupts Saul's life, and Saul sees the light, and quite literally the light. There is a pun intended there, yeah. So we want to take a look at Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 9 right here, and we'll see the description of what happened to Saul. Verse 3, as he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. You know, we talked about it last night, you know, these lights can get pretty bright here, you know, especially when they go full power. But I'm telling you, that light that Saul saw.
Knocked him to the ground.
Knocked him right to the ground. And he was on his knees. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I love his answer. Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. So the guy he's going after, the followers he's going after, is talking to him now.
You know, I can't help but think, how many of you remember the old Samsonite luggage commercials? Remember those? They'd throw one out of an airplane, and it would stay. Gorillas would jump up and down on them and all that, and they were sturdy.
Yeah.
I'll never forget the one where the dad and his son were packing the big Samsonite suitcase for a trip.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to stuff it down because it was so full, trying to stuff it down and get it locked. And the son's bouncing on it, and his dad says, maybe we should have your mom come sit on it. That would close it. And she was right behind him. Do you remember that one? I mean, Saul, my friend, who are you? Oh, I'm Jesus.
Yeah, I'm the guy you've been going after.
No. I just...
Yeah, I know. And then Jesus says, now get up. Go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men with Saul just stood there speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but they didn't see anybody. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. So Jesus has plans for him, but he doesn't tell him what those plans are yet. And Saul must wait for his instructions.
How long?
3 days.
3 days.
3 days. Got to wait. You got to wait. Be patient. Who's patient?
How many of you like waiting? Is that one of your favorite pastimes, waiting? First of all, you waited to get to the doctor. Then they took some tests. And then you got to do what to find out what the results were? Wait. And we have so much fun waiting, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Your wife said, I'll be ready in a minute.
Your wife, not mine.
And then you're waiting.
You ain't pulling me in on this one.
That bus doesn't left tomorrow. I better quit while I'm behind.
You better quit while you're behind.
Go ahead.
But anyway, he had to wait. Jesus was going to make him wait. And Saul was stopped in his tracks. David just said it. He was singularly focused. He was going there to get followers of Christ and take them back to Jerusalem in chains. That was his goal. And Jesus shows up. Boom. Stopped in his tracks. His preparations... They stopped his sincerity in his tracks. He sits in Damascus for 3 days, wandering and thinking, contemplating what Jesus had planned for him. God ever tell you something and you just sit and wonder what exactly he wants you to do? What exactly he's trying to tell you to do? That's what Saul did for 3 days, blind now, in Damascus, wondering, what does this Jesus, who I've been persecuting, want me to do? Well, the funny thing about Paul's disruption was it didn't just disrupt his life.
Yeah.
Jesus also disrupted another man's life to assist in opening Saul's eyes to his plans. So let's go back to Acts chapter 9, and we're going to go to verse 10 now. Verse 10. And it says, "Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling Ananias. 'Yes, Lord,' he replied. The Lord said, 'Go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now, and I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again.'" This would be me. "Wait a minute. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias. "I've heard many people talk about this terrible things that this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name." I'm not going. Ananias is like, "You sure this is the right guy? You got the right guy here, God?" But the Lord said, "Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument." Catch those words. He's my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles, to the kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up, was baptized." He got up and was baptized. The first thing he wanted to do was get baptized. Afterwards, then he ate some food and got his strength back. That's a disruption, folks. That is a disruption. And it's a two-parter, because it involves Saul and Ananias. Now, we also know from here, if you read on and know anything about Paul's life, that Saul spends a few days in Damascus. And from Galatians 1, we know he goes into Arabia to teach. We know that for sure. And we also believe he went there to study and get some clarity on what Jesus' plans were for his life. From there, he went back to Damascus. He went on to Jerusalem, met with the apostles, and eventually goes to the church in Antioch, where he and Barnabas were appointed to go on these missionary journeys. Yeah. And that's when the first mission begins, when the first missionary journey begins. That's when he's now called Paul.
Paul.
He's been appointed. He's studied. He's ready to go. Now he's Paul. We see
Paul
him
is called
Paul. Paul from there on out.
You know, it's kind of funny, from that point on, when he and Barnabas begin all these journeys, he's the one that's now being hunted and tried to kill and tried to... Boy, talk about turning your life around.
Role reversal there. Now, we could do a whole series on Paul, as you've mentioned before. Yeah. But for now, I want to go back to Ananias and Saul meeting for the first time. And here's the thing that Pastor and I really want you to understand about this whole disruption, this particular disruption, Saul's disruption. This disruption didn't change. It didn't change who Saul was, but it did disrupt everything about him. He was still Saul with the same characteristics and traits and emotions and everything. Didn't change that, but it changed everything about his life, about him, what he was going after. God didn't see, when he looked at Saul, an evil, unchangeable person. That's not what he saw. He saw his child, whom he created, whom he loved, who was full of potential. Saul's character, his passion, they were good. They were just misdirected, if you will. God took Saul and all of those traits that you just talked about, Pastor David, and he reappropriated them to continue to do Jesus' work, to spread the gospel. So let's remember what Pastor David just said about Saul. He was singularly focused, he was seriously prepared, and he was sincere, but...
Sincerely wrong.
Sincerely wrong. You see, nothing now changes. This disruption didn't change all that. Saul was still all those things, but with a better... No, you know what? We're going to scratch that. With a higher purpose. With a higher purpose. And that became Paul's ministry and his mission. Saul was still singularly focused. But instead of going after the followers of Jesus, he was now focused on spreading Jesus' teachings, on spreading the gospel. God said, your focus needs more focus.
Yeah.
That's your favorite. Jackie Francis Chan has said that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Your focus needs more focus. In other words, Paul became singularly refocused.
Yeah.
He became refocused on a new mission, a better mission, the mission. And then we know that Saul was seriously prepared. We know that Saul went into the synagogues. He went to Arabia. He met with the apostles. He wanted to learn, to get closer to God, to better his teaching and his message. God took all of that Jewish education that he had and added his son's teachings, and yeah. Paul became seriously gospel prepared. Instead of just being prepared, he's now gospel prepared.
Yeah.
Isn't that a great thing to be, gospel prepared? That's what he was. Finally, you said he was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. Well, we know Saul was wrong for going after the followers of Jesus. There's no doubt about that. He was wrong for killing and imprisoning them. Jesus then disrupts his life, shows him the light, changed his heart, literally opened his eyes to the truth of God's love for all. And Paul became sincere, but now he was sincerely
right.
Right. He was sincerely right. I don't know if God's ever disrupted you and not told you exactly what he wants you to do. I don't know if he's given you a desire or a passion or a ministry idea without giving you the details of how that was all going to work out or make it happen. But that happened to me when Polly and Tiana and I journeyed to Richmond, Virginia. And I told some of you parts of this before, but life was going along well there in Richmond, Virginia.
Good.
I loved my position at Circuit City. We bought a brand new home, and that's the picture of it up there. Tiana was in a great school district. She was making new friends. Shoot, they're alley cart every day at lunch. She got to get ice cream. After she could go up and get ice cream, all of a sudden, Paul and I are like, why is her lunch money going up so much? Well, she'd get an ice cream every day after lunch. But we had great weather. We were attending a wonderful growing church. That's the Journey symbol up there. Noah was born there. I mean, things were going good.
Who are those two cute little kids?
Yeah, look
there?
At them up there, huh? How about that?
That doesn't look like that college graduate.
No kidding, man. She's close. Oh, man. We were living in a great neighborhood. We had wonderful neighbors. Shoot, we were three minutes from a Chick-fil-A.
Oh.
We were 3 minutes from a Five Guys. And now this is the Virginia Five Guys, where they all started. These were, oh my gosh. We were 3 minutes from a Dairy Queen. And more importantly, we were 3 minutes from a Brewster's ice cream.
Oh, man.
And let me tell you about Brewster's ice cream. Oh, man almighty.
That's a sin.
Yeah, it was a big sin. Tiana was like, we go to Brewster's? Okay.
Let's pray about that.
Yeah, let's pray about that. I mean, when I say life was good, life was good. Until we started a new small group, and we were handed this book, Created to Make a Difference. I do. I keep a copy. I actually have a couple copies in my office. And after that study, God started stirring something in me, something I thought I'd moved on past and got away from. And I thought, okay, God, I can take this. I can go help with the youth group. I'm off on Sunday nights and things like that. But there was still something more. And a few months later, Paul and I had been talking, and I just started typing out a letter to the search team here at MCC about the youth ministry position. And after I finished the letter, I'll remember, Polly wasn't sitting there next to me at that time. I think she'd gone upstairs to change Noah or something like that. And after I finished the letter, I said, God, you moved us all the way out here to Richmond, gave me a job I love, a home I love, gave Tiana friends she likes, just to move us back to home, back to Muhammad. He said, yes. That was it, just yes.
So?
I was like, okay, and that was kind of the moment for me when my scales fell off and my eyes opened, that when God wants to disrupt your life and has a plan for your life, he's going to do it. And you can either be all in or you can ignore it. Luckily, I had a wife that was good at keeping me all in. Yeah. Maybe some of you have heard a song or read a story and God started turning the wheels inside you. Or perhaps even Pastor David or myself has said something from up here on the stage that began to stir something in your heart. But it wasn't until weeks or months later that it became clearer to you and God completely opened your eyes. So my final question about this part of Paul what has God opened your eyes to? What is he opening your eyes to? Does your focus need more focus? And actually, I like this better. Does your focus need God's focus?
Oh, that's good.
Do you need God to help focus you, to get you focused on what He wants you to do? So, Pastor David, what do we really need to take away from this disruption of Saul? I'm going to put that on you.
Yeah. When Pastor Jeff and I get to talking about our messages and things, no matter who's preaching, whether we're preaching separate or together or whatever, we want to always help each other come back to, so what? That's a lot of good information about Paul and Saul and his change and all of that. But so what? What does that mean to us in 2020? Mm-hmm. And more importantly, what can we take away from here? For me, what does that say to me? So I want to start with three things really quick about what this, I think, could say to us. You need to catch this because it will lead you to the application.
Okay.
First of all, I want you to notice God disrupted Saul.
Yeah.
Changed his name, changed his purpose. Just like us, we have a new name. We are Christian. I've been bought with a price. You have been bought with a price. I live, yet not I, but what?
Christ.
Christ lives in me.
Yeah.
So God disrupted Saul, changed him to Paul.
Yeah.
And then, secondly, notice Paul disrupted the church.
Yeah.
Wow, what an impact he had on the church.
Yeah.
No one believed him at first. No. Even when God came to Ananias personally, spoke to him, how many times have you wished God would just say to you, Jeff, listen, this is Jesus. I'm telling you what to do.
Yeah.
Well, he did. And God went to Ananias and he said, I want you to go to this man from Tarsus named Saul. And Saul goes, or Ananias goes, well, wait a minute. You heard about this guy? I've heard about him. I'm sure God went, oh, really? I didn't know that. He said, hey, just do it. Remember what we said earlier? Our only response is obeying, is obedience.
Yeah.
Just do what I told you to, Ananias. But then Saul, once they got to believing him, thanks to Barnabas, every church needs a Barnabas. You need to be a Barnabas to someone that others are having a hard time accepting. But once they accepted him, his message, and accepted that God can disrupt even a Saul, Paul became a force for God all over the world.
Yeah.
Now, you had to know Earl Swank. Earl Swank was the nicest man in the world. He was the associate minister at Southland Christian, where we grew up, and he took part in my ordination service into the ministry. He didn't mean to be mean about it. Didn't mean to say any. People just took it the way you're probably been going to take it when you hear this. At my ordination, after they talked about this young man we were about to lay hands on and all that, he said, I just want to tell you something. If God can use this young man, he can use anybody. And I just said to him, was I just insulted? You know? No, it's kind of a realization. God can use you.
Yeah.
He can. And by the way, God can use you like that too. So, God disrupted Saul.
Yeah.
Paul disrupted the church. And then the church disrupted an empire.
Wow.
Though Satan tried to scatter them everywhere, he did. He was successful at scattering the church everywhere.
Yeah.
They got them up and out of the pews in Jerusalem, and they went into the world.
Yeah.
They went through the entire empire, and Paul was a major role in that with three great missionary journeys. Churches established all over the world, and the Bible says they turned their world upside down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Pastor Jeff, you know what happened next? The church went after the empire and disrupted it.
Yeah. Where are you going?
And there's something still going on.
Yeah.
Because Satan, you remember we said he's still trying to destroy the church.
Every chance he gets.
After the church disrupted the empire.
Uh-oh.
Do that right. The empire strikes back. Okay, that was pretty bad, wasn't it? Oh! But the Lord is still fighting the fight. Okay.
See? 12-year-old still getting you.
So what do we take away from this, Pastor Jeff?
That I'm not going to mess with my son in a lightsaber battle. That's one.
Man, that's awesome.
And two, and this is the big one. Listen, folks, and this is for each and every one of us, not just Pastor David, not just myself, every one of us. God is sending us out to disrupt the world, to fight back with Jesus' love, to go after the world with Jesus' love. That's what he's telling us. Go disrupt the world. We have a mission to disrupt the world for Christ. And every time you leave our church, the driveway, you'll see a sign. You see it every time. And it reminds us that when we're leaving our church grounds, that we are entering our mission field. Yeah. We're entering our mission field. And that's what he wants each and every one of us to do, whether it's our neighborhoods, work, you know, whether it's our friends, family, whether it's a whole, you know, a town, whatever it is. He wants us to disrupt the world, and he's going to disrupt you and tell you how to do that.
Maybe it's in even on social media.
Even on social media.
Disrupt the world for Jesus.
For Jesus. That's the key. Yeah, for Jesus.
Go into all the world and disrupt it.
Yeah.
Make disciples of all nations.
Yeah. Let's disrupt it. So, my question for all of you, who's with us? Who's all in?
Yeah, I am.
Who's ready to go disrupt the world for Jesus?
Amen.
Oh, I got to ask this church again. Saturday night, I guess everybody's still sleepy on Sunday morning. But let me ask you again. Who's ready to go disrupt the world for Jesus? Yeah. He's got plans for us, Pastor. He's got plans.
Father God, thank you so much for the disruptions that we've been able to take a brief look at throughout the Scriptures through this series. And there are many others. Many of us have favorite Bible characters, and if we just sit and look at it, we'll realize that a lot of the things that happened in their lives weren't just life interruptions. They were God's disruptions. And in our lives, maybe we need to take a closer look, because some of the working in our life that you're trying to do is not just life's interruptions happening. You're trying to shake us up, to disrupt our lives, to take who we are and make us a force for you to disrupt this world around us. So, Father God, whatever our decisions, let your Spirit move us so that we too will step out again, all in, to make a difference in our world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hey, it's been good to be with you this morning. We hope the message has challenged you. We hope this whole series has. And maybe he's disrupting you enough to let you know, I've got to be doing some things. And maybe like we were talking about Saul, one of the first things you need to do, you need to go on and make your decision to be baptized. Wash those sins away. Saul wanted nothing to do with the life and the person he was. Mm-hmm. He wanted to be that new creation, to wash away the sin, to wash away the old, and to come up as a new person that God could use in a way he never imagined he could be used.
Yep.
And maybe that's your next decision. Maybe you've done that. We're getting back together a little bit in church now. Maybe your decision is, I need to get a little more, I need to get recommitted, rededicated to not only the church, but to the church's work and to the Lord's work, working together to be more of what he wants me to be, so this church can be even more of what God wants it to be. My prayer for each and every one of you, man, is that you will ask God to make you a disruptor everywhere you go. So as we stand, as we sing this morning, if there's a decision on your heart, we invite you to come.